American Craftsman podcast is sponsored by Hayfla. Hayfla offers a wide range of products and solutions for the woodworking and furniture making industries, from hinges and drawer slides to connectors and dowels, sandpaper, shop carts, wood glue, and everything in between. Exclusive product lines such as Lux LED lighting and Slido door hardware ensure that every project you create is built to last. Learn more at Hayfla.com. Ah, I feel good. Welcome back to the show. Got somebody rolling a suitcase outside, sounds like.
Yeah, something.
Joined this week by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts, Working Hands Podcast. What else?
That's about it.
That's all he wants you to know about.
That's all I'm going to admit to.
Yeah, we're doing an impromptu podcast. Actually, recorded with John. Was that yesterday or 2 days? That was Wednesday. So episode that came out today, with John Peters, we're recording today. This is being recorded today
on release day.
Yeah,
you're getting very confusing at the moment.
I'm confused. So it's par for the course.
It's end of the day on Friday. I get it.
Yeah. 3:30 on Friday. It's been a noisy day in the shop with all the milling and everything. So it's a lot.
Noisy.
So yeah, Keith was here helping me out today.
Yeah, I was.
Building some face frames.
We don't know that yet.
Well, yeah, they're not built.
I milled some face frames. I created a lot of sawdust.
Yeah, creating parts allegedly that will become face frames.
I have my reservations on that sander, but other than that, we're good.
Yeah, what's wrong with the sander?
I don't know. I just don't like using it. I mean, it's great when it works, but the edge band sanding, edge sanding.
Anything over about 3 inches is a little.
Yeah. And I don't know. Hopefully you don't have to remake the bottom parts. But.
No, they'll be fine. Yeah. So started working on that big 20-foot wall unit yesterday.
Did you explain that on the podcast now?
How I fucked up the cabinets?
No.
Just the job itself?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. We were talking about a big 20-foot long red oak wall unit. Sharon Sherman, who was on the show, what do you got over there? Banaka?
Listerine.
I probably can't have this. Remember when Banaka was really popular?
Yeah.
And the Listerine strips? I still love that.
I still do the Listerine strips.
Those taste pretty good. Sharon Sherman, who was on the show, Time and Place Design, I don't know when that was, maybe 3 months ago. That's a job of her in Montclair. Like I said, 20 foot long and I think they're 10 foot ceilings or 9 foot ceilings, red oak wall unit. So I built the base cabinets yesterday. And first job where I used the Ganimat boring machine, and that worked great. They're non-standard depth. There's cabinets that are 17 deep, at least the sides would be 17 and a half deep. And there's the benches that are, they're less than that, 15 and three quarter. So the spacing on the drills, wasn't ideal because I'm trying to get it set up for standard cabinets. But man, works great. Dowels, pre-drills for the screws, you just run in the screws.
Looks cool.
Spritz a little water in the hole. But
that's a wild system to me. The pre-glued dowels.
Yeah. They have machines that will drill, spray the water, and insert the dowel.
Why didn't you buy one of those?
Yeah.
Pony up.
Well, like Green Street money. Speaking of Green Street money, the laser was paid for, meaning the payment cleared. I just sent an email out trying to find out if it's going to ship today. Hopefully it does, because it should take about 5 days and 5 business days. And that's all I got. Because after that, I'm going to be out of town.
Needs to be here by Friday.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be the following week. But it is what it is, I guess. Anyway, these cabinets, I built them yesterday morning.
If it doesn't come by Friday.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
I built the cabinets in the morning and I had to run out and get, I had to get a sump pump because those of you in the Northeast know that, what was it, Wednesday, we had rain. We've had so much rain, but Wednesday night, it was like 60 mile an hour winds and just crazy rain. Did you lose power?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, we lost power briefly at about, I want to say 8 o'clock. And then I fell asleep. My wife had left for a soccer game. And I woke up when she got home around midnight. And she goes, I hate to tell you this, but there's about 4 inches of water in the basement. I'm like, fuck.
There's nothing worse than waking up to that news.
I know. So, you know, I got out of bed, I got dressed. And I went down there and sure enough, 3-4 inches of water. And, you know, the power went out and the sump pump obviously wasn't running while the power was out. Where is it going with this? Oh, so I pumped it out. I had like a surface pump that I bought just for this type of occasion. So I illegally was pumping it into my slop sink because obviously the sump pump couldn't keep up. So it's not like I could pump it into the sump pit.
Well, you could have piped it outside.
Yeah. I don't know if that thing has that kind of,
oof.
Yeah. Just like a little, it's called a water bug, little $100 surface pump, but it will pump down to like a 16th.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It needs 3/16ths to prime itself, but it'll go down to a 16th
after it's primed.
Right.
Yeah.
So I turned that on, which this thing was like basically half underwater, that thing. I put the hose in the slop sink. I have an ejector for that. It was clean
water.
Did you
also have the sump pump running?
The sump pump was just, yeah, the power had come on and the sump was just running because the float was pinned.
Yeah.
You know, thing was half underwater.
I think in an emergency situation, who cares if you're pumping it down the...
I don't fucking care. They can go scratch, but it took about an hour for it to get down to... just normal wet basement level.
Jersey Shore wet basements.
Yeah, woke up the next morning and went down there and it was still just at that, like, you know, wet, not like an accumulation of water, but
moist.
You know, maybe like well, I have certain areas that will hold like, you know, 1/4 inch of water when it's really bad. So that was still wet. Pumps were running. Look outside, fence fell over. So I had that to deal with. So I'm like, man, I'm like, screw this. I just got to do something about this. So I did some early morning research. I found a sump pump with a battery backup and this and that. I wanted to get one that had like a high flow. Because the one that was in there, you know, they put in right before we bought the house, was just some like BS 1/3 horsepower pedestal sump pump, you know, ever built from Lowe's.
They probably had a good one and took it with them.
Well, no, the one that was there was broken. And that was one that we were like, listen, you got to change out this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because our realtor actually went like a week or two before closing and there was some water in the basement. So they did, you know, handyman special job, bought the cheapest pump.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I buy all this stuff, new pit, which I can't do until the water table goes down. But I said to myself, you know, yesterday when I got home, all day the water had been at the very top of the sump pit.
Oh.
Like the pump couldn't work fast enough to get it down. So I'm like, I better just change out the pump. You know, at least
it's gonna burn out anyway.
Yeah, at least do that. Yeah, it was so hot. So, you know, I had to disconnect the old one to hook the new one up.
Oh, some more water was coming in.
So at the second I unplugged that thing, because I had to cut the PVC and stuff, because the new one's like
way better. You
know, yeah. It fucking weighs like 25 pounds. The second I unplugged that thing, it was just like, underwater. You could see the water just like rising straight up out of the pit. It was crazy. So by the time I finally got the new one hooked up, there was probably like a solid inch of water in the basement.
That's a lot of water.
But got the new one in, plugged it in. None of my PVC leaked and I was doing it. I was scrambling and yeah. I was cursing and throwing stuff. My son was upstairs probably like, oh my God, this guy's a psycho.
he thinks that for other reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, can I have? I'm like, yes, whatever. Like, just leave me alone for like 20 minutes. Let me do this. The second I plugged that thing in, it kicked on and it ran and ran. And like maybe after 3 or 4 minutes, it was dry down to the bottom of the sump pit.
So that other one was way undersized.
Yeah. I mean, the water, you know, it's the pit is, it's like corrugated metal. It's not like a plastic pit. It's really old. And it doesn't like seem to have holes like throughout the whole thing. If it does, they're clogged up. So the water just kind of comes over, you know, the slab is here and then the top of the pit is like right at the bottom of the slab. So it's just pouring in.
That's how mine was.
It's like a bath, like a, you ever seen those like fancy bath faucets that are like a,
just kind of
like
falls over the edge?
It's like that, just nonstop.
Really?
It's crazy.
See, at my house in Neptune, I was probably as close or closer to the water. I don't know where you live, but we were pretty close to the inlet. And only during Irene did I have it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then most times it would fill up with water, but it would take forever. But the other part of my basement would get water. So I'd just go and I'd fight it with a shop vac.
Yeah.
I didn't even wait for it to get over to the sump pump.
Yep. Yeah. So all of mine is, you know, it's coming up.
Yeah, that's what I had. Groundwater would come up through the bottom.
Yeah. So in some spots it comes through the slab. But my plan is to dig the pit down lower and I'll have the battery back up so I don't have to worry about.
How much further down are you going to go?
Well, the pit I bought is 22 inches deep. And I'd say the pit that I have now is maybe 18 inches deep.
Mine was a good 2 foot.
I'm going to get it down there pretty far.
But the pump I had in mine must have been 200 years old is what it looked like.
All cast iron.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Like, I never wanted to touch it because I was like, it works. If I touch it, it's not going to work.
Yeah. So. Well, so the one I got has like a, it's called, what is it called? Basement Watchdog Big Combo Connect. And it has like some kind of wireless thing that will go to your phone. But anyway, it's like a generator where it turns on once a week and runs and makes sure that everything is working and tells you if it's messed up.
Yeah. Now, 9 times out of 10, I would say I hate wireless things, but water in your basement is probably something you want wireless. So, you know.
Yeah. Just so another thing to eat up my Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah. But people have like a wireless washer and dryer.
Mine has the ability, but
why would you want that?
My grill has Bluetooth and you can like control it from your phone. I tried it like once.
I don't want to be that. I mean, I'm already on my phone too much. In those rare instances I'm grilling, I don't want to be on my phone watching the temperature of
meat. Yeah, it was like, you know, yeah. So you could plug in like the thermometers.
Yeah.
I never did that, I don't think. But, you know, you could change the temperature of the grill.
If you could light it from inside, that would be cool. But I'm sure that's not the case.
I think I could.
You fancy.
Yeah, well, just like the pellet.
Green Street money.
The pellet smoker side. You know, because it's propane on one side and pellet grill on the other.
Oh, you got one of those?
So the pellet grill I could turn on from my phone, which that was kind of cool because you have to go out there, turn it on, and then it takes like 15 minutes or whatever for it to actually like turn on.
It's not longer, right?
Yeah. So that was actually kind of nice. But it now when I plug it in, it pops the circuit breaker. Like the igniter is bad, you know, after like a year.
They're cheap to fix though.
Yeah, but then I got to fix it.
I just had to sand down my Blackstone.
Yeah, I saw that.
Cover blew off and I didn't decide to fix it. It took all of like 8 minutes to get it.
I'm pretty sure my grill is uncovered right now because the last time I used it, you know, the problem is it's hot and then you're like, oh, I'll come out in a little bit and cover it. I never cover it.
So I just bought on Amazon because that was my problem. I don't want to put the, what is the fabric that.
Yeah, it's like nylon.
Yeah, almost. Whatever. It'll melt right to the grill. So I bought an aluminum, it's diamond plate, which I don't like, but it's aluminum top. So you can just throw it on when it's hot and walk away from it.
I don't think they make those for like an actual grill though.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, mine's like a, you know, like a gas grill.
Oh, you don't have a cover?
I do, but yeah, but I like to, I have an actual cover that covers the grill.
Oh, I gave up on the cover for my grill.
Yeah.
I say that, but
they just rust out.
They rust out with the cover, I feel yeah. like. It holds all that moisture in there. All the condensation
gets stuck in there, yeah.
So yeah. I got rid of the cover for the grill. And then this year, in one of those bad windstorms, like what we had, it blew over on its front, which is fine, but it broke. Like it didn't screw up the front of the grill, but it broke all the insides.
Ugh.
And I went out there not knowing that all those gas pipes were broken. I went to light it and I had a fire going. I almost blew myself up.
Yeah. Grills, like, you know, you might go and look at a grill and it's like, oh, this seems like it's built pretty good. Like this, you know, the metal's pretty thick. The knobs are good. You look at the inside parts, the gas, I don't know what you call them, the things yeah. that the flames come out. They're yeah. so thin. It's like tinfoil.
Which is what you want to be the thickest because that's taking the most abuse.
Yeah. BS grates that they put in there.
Oh, I always replace the grates right away. But like they make a rebuild kit for it and it's like $60. And I'm debating just buying a $200 grill, doing the rebuild kit.
Yeah.
It's a NEX grill, NEX. I don't know if they're any good or not.
I don't know. Mine's a Pit Boss.
I don't know.
I had the Green Mountain Grills, pellet grill. The first one rusted out in like a year and they actually replaced it. And then the second one rusted out and the igniter went and I wasn't able to fix it after like another 2 years. So then I got the Pit Boss because I didn't want to spend like $1,500 on a Traeger.
Right.
And this was cool because my wife, she doesn't really like the pellet grill stuff. She's like, I don't like the wood taste. So she wants propane. So I got this one that's half and half.
That works.
Which is cool. And they're small. It's like maybe, I don't know, 1.5 times my computer, 24 inches and 24 inches, which I'm never cooking for that many people, you know?
I mean, I'll have a get together at my house and cook for a lot of people, but it's nothing like there's never anyone wait, like, who cares if you have to wait when you're at a barbecue?
Yeah. Right? And it has that top rack. So if like you're cooking a lot of burgers and stuff, you could always have them cooking and put them up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I cook like, I could probably cook 2 big packs of chicken thighs at one time if I needed to. Might be a little crowded, but. And if I use both sides, then shit, you cook a lot.
Just don't serve the wood side to your wife.
Yeah. Complainer. I'm like, oh, there's food. Sounds good.
Yeah.
You've probably talked about it ad nauseum, but I know it just finished. You want to talk about Make What You Fear at all?
Yeah, we had a bunch of entries. I think 35 people participated.
Wow. Is that did you have more than that last year or less?
Less last year, more the first year.
Mm.
You know, it's a different prompt, I guess, every year. So it changes who wants to be in.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good turnout. But some amazing stuff got put in. But yeah, a Griffin Makes one. He did a leather Dungeons and Dragons mat. But we just came together and we put in our favorites into the hat, like our top 5 favorites. 3 of them matched, so we put those 3 in a hat, and then we just pulled out of a hat. That's the easiest way to do it.
What were the 3?
No, I'm not telling you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was the whole prize pack?
Oh, we gave away, Rob DeMarco made something for
it. I saw that, yeah.
Housemade.us put in a copper spoon forging kit.
Hmm.
Bow Shield T9 sprays, like the rust, the...
Yeah, we got all some
that
of
stuff.
That.
I love that stuff. Tota Boat put in Maritime Sabretooth and Maker Camp ticket.
Wow.
Silver Pass.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's a good, yeah. Like, say close to $1,000 prize pack.
Yeah, I mean, Silver Pass to Maker Camp's what, $500?
No, Silver Pass. You're thinking Gold Pass.
Gold Pass.
Yeah, it's like $225, I think.
Mm.
Just in that alone.
Well.
But, like, I don't know what Sabretooth is given. They just said a prize pack. So that I talked to them and they're like, well, whatever we have, we're going to throw in a bin.
Yeah, like 2 stickers and 4 pencils.
No. It's going to be carving stuff. Maritime gift card. I forget what he gave, but maybe it was $100 or something.
Yeah, shit. What about Total Boat?
Total Boat gave
some of their super glue.
No. I think it was one of their finishes, not epoxy. One of their finishes.
Halcyon?
I want to say Halcyon, but what's the other one they have?
That little bear?
No, not Wood Honey.
No. Gleam?
It might have been Gleam. It was. I want to say it's High Performance, whatever the High Performance one is. It was so long ago that we brokered the deal. Yeah. I forget what it is now.
What does that guy do who won? What's his like main thing?
He mainly does like leather working. Well, I shouldn't say that. He does a lot of cosplay stuff.
Okay.
So he's into a little bit of everything. He does woodworking, a little bit of metalworking, I think.
So what was the fear part? What was like the, I forget what the prompt was.
So the prompts were something you've never done before, like a new material or new process or a project you had failed at in the past. And for him, he was doing a couple new processes, but within leather workings. So he did, he made his own dies and he did pyrography, maybe? So he burned the map in.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it's a big, I want to say it's like 24 by 36. It's a big map, and it's all detailed, and he burned in each detail. Mm. And then he did antiquing and all that, which I think he had done antiquing before, but I know he made his own die and the pyrography and all sorts of stuff. Huh.
Now, Dungeons & Dragons map, is there like a map, or it's just something you just make up?
I have no idea.
I thought Dungeons and Dragons was kind of just like you just make it up as you go.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But apparently not. I could be wrong. What do I know?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never played it. Sounds like something that I would play. Well, maybe, but just sounds like a lot of work.
Well, I think it's a lot of work for the Dungeon Master. I only know from the two TV shows I watched that had it in there. It was Big Bang and Community.
Let's see. Jamie, pull that up. How long has it been around? Since the 60s? That's going to be my guess.
I want to say the 70s. That sounds like a 70s thing. I don't know. I've never played. It was only recently that I found out that I knew people that played.
1974.
Told you it was a 70s thing.
Dungeons and Dragons, commonly abbreviated as D&D or D letter N D, fantasy tabletop role playing game, originally created and designed by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson. Let's see. Game was derived from miniature war games with a variation of the 1971 game Chainmail, serving as the initial rule system. Okay, so I guess maybe it is kind of like a actual game.
There's an actual game?
Yeah, like I guess. Oh yeah, I forgot they made a movie.
There's a movie?
Yeah, that came out recently. I saw a billboard for it. Yeah, see, it's like a, I guess you can like buy Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm over here looking at my computer thinking that it's up on the TV screen.
I'm staring at nothing.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
Tomb of Annihilation.
I do know that Jacob at one point said the guy who drew the map started following along in his build. So I don't know what that means.
Dungeons and Dragons
map. He said the guy's name, but I didn't know what he said.
Annotated map of Faerun. Is this what he made?
I don't know. I don't think his map looked like that. I think there's different maps depending on your like dungeon master or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to speak poorly on this thing or not.
I guess
poorly.
It doesn't take place in a dungeon.
I guess not. It's like different lands.
That was my assumption. That
over there, what's it say, Westerlands? Thought it said Westeros.
I love when you click on it, like on Google, like this, and then you go to it, and it's actually smaller.
Yeah, drives me nuts.
The Westerlands.
Yeah, Here, I'm pulling up his map now.
I did look at it. I just don't remember what it looks like.
There's some more.
I was like, this one?
Barovia leather map goodness. No.
Dungeons & Dragons is a structured yet open-ended role-playing game that is normally played indoors with the participants seated around a tabletop. Typically, one player takes on the role of Dungeon Master, while the others each control a single character representing an individual in a fictional setting. When working together as a group, the player characters are often described as a party of adventurers, with each member often having their own area of specialty that contributes to the success of the group as a whole. During the course of play, each player directs their action, directs the actions of their character with their interactions with other characters in the game. Activity is performed through the verbal impersonation of the characters by the players while employing a variety of social and other useful cognitive skills such as logic, basic mathematics, and imagination. The game often continues over a series of meetings to complete a single adventure and longer into a series of related gaming adventures called a campaign. Bunch of nerds.
Maybe, but I'm sure they're having fun.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I guess it is something that my guess is there's like a base game and then people are kind of just taking it,
changing it up as they go.
Yeah, into their own whatever, making up their own worlds and whatnot. So maybe his map is just some other made up, you know, maybe not from the original.
Yeah.
Game or whatever. I don't
know. Or maybe it's made for his campaign.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is he the Dungeon Master or is he a player character?
I don't know. I know he made a really cool map for Make What You Fear. But we had a ton of other things too. Like people did, like Joey did the office rebuild.
Oh, that was his Make What You Fear.
Yeah. There was.
I haven't seen, I saw him working on it, but I haven't seen any updates in a while.
Well, he did a finished one. It was long, but it starts off with him and he's got like this cool laser light behind him. Neon light. I think it's a laser room, so I call it a laser light, but he's got like a neon light behind him. And in that, he walks you through the whole build. It's pretty cool. Mm. AJ made a crib. There was a coffee table.
Oh, that I saw.
The crib?
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually had, his daughter.
He finished early.
Well, his daughter came on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So
he congratulations. Had
done. Yeah. Congrats.
Crafted in NJ, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else was it? There was a ton of stuff. I'm going to
Matt miss. With the,
the leather tool apron.
That was cool.
Insane.
I didn't see a lot of, entries because, I don't know. I don't think I follow a lot of the people who entered, but Matt's I thought was really cool. And the leather he used was like, had a really cool grain to it. It was like, I don't know what the hell it was.
I don't know. It was like, I guess grainy is the best way to put it.
Yeah. It was like almost like little, like a round, like.
It was almost like ostrich skin or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there was Black Bobby. I could go through the whole list, but people were doing like where they were learning, turning. Somebody made a cool stand and did like etched metal for their, like it's a displaced stand for something they sell. Hmm. Yeah. A lot of stuff. People started going down into lapidary. DeMarco did a epoxy bowl.
Yeah. Did he end up making a second one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I saw it.
A ukulele. Somebody made a ukulele.
That's
who had
cool.
Never made a stringed instrument before.
Wow.
That was impressive. I mean, everything
what's
was
lapidary?
Impressive.
Is that when you gemstones or something?
Yeah, gemstones, yeah. Hmm. Well, or just like, any stone.
Yeah, putting the facets on it or just tumbling it or something?
No, it's where you have to cut it and then polish it. And
just like one face or that's putting like when you make like a, put the facets on it?
I don't think
or that's just
facets.
Like a more advanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the more advanced on how you cut it or how you polish it.
Hmm.
Some people started power carving, bathroom renovations, laser enclosures, an arcade out of a toolbox. That was pretty wild.
Like an arcade cabinet?
Yeah, yeah. But he made it into a, this is Dean from Dean to Planet. He did a, he bought a cobalt toolbox, and then like where the top opens, he had that on a linear actuator that would go up, and that would be the screen.
Oh, wow.
And then you pull a drawer out, and that's where you have the, it was pretty wild. Hmm. And then he made all the electronics, you know, through like a Raspberry Pi and whatnot. But
yeah,
he had to wire it all up.
That's pretty cool.
Some impressive stuff. The amount of things people go through is,
yeah, insane. I'm just in here cutting up plywood. So you're heading up to Group Forge.
Yeah,
Group Forge.
Group Forge.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm just gonna go hang out with Tony at night. I'm not participating in the Group Forge.
Yeah.
That's not my, a lot of work those guys do.
Seems like a pretty serious blacksmithing event. Or at least maybe not serious, but a very purpose driven. It's like, all right, we got to do this and no time to dick around because.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I go up for the timber frame and that's the same thing, but it's like in my wheelhouse, you know, like woodworking.
Yeah.
When it's black, and there are people who have never blacksmithed before and they go up and do it. I have blacksmith. I don't have the love for blacksmithing to want to have to blacksmith 8 hours or more a day throughout the whole weekend to get that project done. I'll do that with woodworking.
Yeah.
But for blacksmithing, no. So I like to just stick around in the forge. But it, all those group projects where you're working on one thing is pretty cool. It like builds a bond with the whole crowd and they're excited when it's done and all that. So
timber frame would be cool. When's that? June?
June or July this year. I think it's in July.
Maybe I'll see if I can get up there for that.
You should. That one's fun.
Yeah.
I will say, like, the blacksmithing one, I feel like those guys work their butts off day and night, right? For the timber frame one, at least the year I went, we worked from, like, I'd say after breakfast to dinner time. And then that was it. Like after dinner, we didn't go back out there. Like the blacksmith guys all go back out to the forge.
No, I don't want to do that.
And they just hang out and get hammered at night. And then they wake up the next day and they finish it.
Yeah, no. If I got to put in more than 8 hours of work, I might as well just stay here.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's pretty fun. And there's like 20 people that go, 25 people or whatever it is. Everyone's got their tasks. And once you're done with your tasks, you're pretty much done. I was on Ed's crew, Ed Johns.
Cupola crew.
The Cupola crew. And it was cool to work with him and just, he was telling me what to do and our crew what to do. So
I had to look into that. I hit up Brian because I know he had a lot of fun from RT.
Didn't he sign up? He said.
For the timbering?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
I know he was talking about wanting to do it when we put the thing up. At Maker Camp, he was all about it.
Yeah. I was talking to him.
I hope it goes. That'll be fun. I haven't bought my ticket yet, but probably going to do that. Probably today.
Is there a cap on that?
Yeah.
There shouldn't be,
but there's a cap, I think. So, yeah. I don't even know what they're building this year. Another structure. That's all I know.
Yeah, man. We're going to have to buy more property.
Right?
Maybe like an addition to the pavilion.
That would be nice. Or just reframe the front of it so it's all timber framed.
Yeah.
Like timber frame look.
Like a portico coming off it.
That's
or something.
The word, yeah.
That'd be cool. Maybe something that goes, it'd be cool if something that comes off and goes around the fire pit, you know, maybe with an open roof.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Just like a structure and then like nothing in the middle. A pergola kind of thing.
If you don't know, we're talking about the Blackthorn Resort where Maker Camp is held. But yeah. So yeah, I'm doing that.
It's supposed to be good weather up there?
No.
We're in that time of year where it's just pretty much bad weather the
all
whole
day.
Time.
Every day.
Here, it's been terrible. I mean, this has been some of the worst weather. I think like the last 18 months or so has been the worst weather probably in the last decade.
I would say it's the worst consecutive 18 months of bad weather.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's the worst weather.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But like, yeah, you know, consecutive period,
averaging it all out. Yeah,
this is the worst.
Yeah,
it's been too hot when it's not. It's been too cold when it shouldn't be.
Yeah, it was pretty mild winter, but it was. I mean, the rain, man.
It rained every day for like 3 weeks straight at one point.
You know, we got the double cicadas coming this year.
Is that this year?
The 13 and 17.
We got earthquakes. We got eclipses.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that. I was going to put up a post and say I'm no longer answering questions about the earthquake.
Right? Yeah.
So around, what was it, like 10 a.m.? Something like that? 10:30?
Yeah. I don't know what time it was.
So we're in here working. I was, I forget what I was doing, putting legs on a cabinet, and Keith was running stuff through the sander. And I thought I felt something. I'm like, man, I'm like the dust collector. Some like the impeller must be getting loose or something. Like that thing sounds like it's going to freaking blow up. And then my wife called me. She's like, did you feel that? And I was like, oh, man, thought, that was an earthquake.
I was over there working and I'm not used to working in here. And all of a sudden I felt like I was getting dizzy and like a little bit extra noise. I'm like, man, these machines are weird. I had no idea until I got a text that said, did you guys feel that quake? And then like for the next 2 hours, that's all I got was, did you feel that? Yes, I'm in New Jersey. Everyone from Rhode Island and Maryland felt it. You don't have to keep asking.
Yeah, I could feel like the ground shaking, which, you know, when you're working around machines isn't like a weird sensation to have. But, you know, I work in here 40, 50 plus hours a week. And I had never felt that like vibration like that. So I was... I didn't think was earthquake, but I knew something was up.
Yeah. I remember the last earthquake that I actually felt, it didn't register until after like probably 10 minutes after that. Oh, that was an earthquake. And then you go on your phone and you look and you're like, oh, okay, that was an earthquake.
How about that one in Taiwan? Did you see some of the clips from that? Oh, that just happened. Like
scary.
The guy
stuff.
In the pool.
Oh, I saw that.
That was crazy.
He's like putting his hand up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a distraction. It's a distraction.
But did you see the guys driving across that bridge?
Oh, yeah.
And they all come to a stop.
I would have kept driving.
Now, that's days after the Baltimore Bridge just crashed. You keep going.
Yeah.
You hammer down. I would not stop on a bridge.
Hell no. I wouldn't stop anywhere.
Although, just this past week, I had to go over the Verrazano.
Mm-hmm.
And I get stuck in traffic and I'm sitting up there and I can feel it shaking and I'm just watching all the container ships going underneath me as I'm sitting up there and I'm like, let's move. Let's move, guys.
I've only been over the Verrazano, I don't know, maybe twice. It's a pretty big bridge.
Yeah, I've been over it countless times. If that bridge goes down when you're on it, there's not, you're it's over.
No, it's way up there. Yeah. I've been under it more times than I've been over it.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, that's the entrance into the Hudson River, at least from here.
Gothels, as they say.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Something like that, the Gothels Pass or something.
Where's the Gothels Bridge? That goes from somewhere in Brooklyn,
that's on the other side
right?
of the island. No, that's Staten Island in New Jersey.
Okay. Where? Oh, from like up north, more north than the Outer Bridge?
Yeah, it's the next bridge up. After the Outer Bridge.
How many bridges are there?
Three. There's the Bayonne Bridge.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen signs for that.
I mean, that's more of if you're heading north, right? From Staten Island into Bayonne.
Hmm.
But like to cross, like, I mean, they all go to Jersey, but those are the three.
Yeah. Yeah, I was up North Jersey on, I think I talked about this with John. Did I? About the compressor? Did you listen to the podcast?
I did on my way in this morning, but I thought most of it was fishing and working out and a little bit of woodworking with the sauna. I don't think you talked about the compressor. I think that was with us on
Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously the laser's been down. They sent me another bad tube. So I think Monday, they're supposed to send me a new tube and a power supply, but the compressor also was down. And so I had to drive up to, Moonachie, New Jersey, which I had never heard of. And in that East Rutherford area, I got off at like MetLife Stadium, American Dream Mall, kind of exit off the turnpike and then took some back roads to, what was it called? I forget, Electrical Supply. And grabbed two contactors, one as a backup. So thankfully that was it. Just like a, I spent more time dicking around trying to figure out what the problem was than I did just changing out the part.
Yeah.
But now I know. The guy said, like, so the contactor is basically just a switch. And I guess the pressure switch from the compressor tells it to make contact. You know, it's a normally off. The pressure switch, I've got a freaking dry mouth. The pressure switch will tell it to make contact. And there's like a little button in there that you can actually press to make contact, like a little spring-loaded button.
What, like an override?
No, it's just like a button. I don't know. And if you hold the button down, the motor will run. It's supposed to stick. Like, I guess the electrical contact makes it stick. Like, same way that if you're getting like fucking electrocuted, you can't like let go of the wire or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't sticking. Like, if I held it down, the motor would run and I could get the compressor to fill up.
Is it like a magnet switch almost?
I think it's the same concept, but there's no magnets.
Okay.
It's just relying on the contact of the electricity or whatever. I don't know. Somebody could probably explain this way better. But then it got to a point where I would hold it and it would just like, there'd be all kinds of crazy sparks and the motor wouldn't run. But the guy up there, he said, yeah, if you hold it and it doesn't stay, it means that the coil is bad.
How does something like that go bad?
I don't know. Just on and off. I was like, yeah, I was like, the thing's like was only built in 2021. He's like, yeah, you know, these are pretty cheap, like consumable parts. I'm like, okay. But so I got a price from Grainger for this part. It was going to ship directly from Eaton, which is a manufacturer. They wanted like $400 and something.
Grainger.
I had no idea Grainger was such a ripoff.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Unreal.
$75 I paid. I got two of them for $153.
I went one time to go buy a laser because I had a laser go bad on me.
Like a LDM?
Yeah. Yeah. I call them the distos. It was a Leica. And I went there and they wanted like $2,800 for it. I'm like, okay, is it in stock? Because, you know, I was up against it. And they're like, no, that's the order price. I'm like, I'm going to go home and order it for $1,000. Like, what are you doing to me?
That's the other thing with Grainger. Every time I am looking for something and they have it, it's not in stock.
No, they just have it.
Yeah.
They can get it for you. Oh, we'll get it for you.
And I have two Grainger within, you know, 25 minutes in South Plainfield.
Yeah.
Or whatever, Plainfield. We've picked up like belts there before, stuff like that. But yeah.
I don't know if they try and get away from... Like, I don't have an account with them.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's, if you have an account, it's cheaper. Like, do they give you discounts if you're an account member?
I don't think so.
I feel like there's got to be something there that they're charging that much and still be in business, especially with the power of the internet.
Well, everything I heard was that, you know, they rely on shops, like a big shop, say. Yeah,
like a union shop or
who's
something.
Who's like, yeah, you know, we got an account with Grainger. Just get the mop there, the screws, the bolts, this belt, this cleaner. It's like Uline, you know, they have everything.
Yeah, it's like a one-stop shop. So it's one bill.
Yeah.
Makes the accounting easy, but still.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
I mean, there's certain things that I'll pay a little bit more for. Like, let's say Hayfla has something and Richelieu also has it. But Richelieu is whatever, even 20% cheaper. I'm just going to get it from Hayfla because
you're only saving 20% and you're probably already have a full order coming from it.
Exactly. Hayfla. Like, I'm going to lose that 20% by having to place another order, having to deal with a different salesperson, whatever. But the price at Grainger seems significantly higher.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like 400-500% more than I paid.
Yeah.
And it was just going to drop ship from the manufacturer. It's not like they're stocking it or all they're doing is brokering the deal.
I don't get it.
And they're just going to take 400 off the top, give Eaton 70. Well, if I bought it for 75, Eaton's not selling it for 75. They're selling it for probably 30.
30, yeah. Because the guy you bought it from has to buy it, have it delivered, store it.
Sell it.
Pay somebody to sell it.
Yeah. So the dude working behind the desk, it's the same guy I talked to on the phone, and he was kind of grumpy because, you know, he was like, so basically what happened is I found it through Grainger. The price was insane. It was going to drop ship. So I didn't have time. Obviously I need a working compressor. So I called up Quincy. They have a sales office in Pine Grove, New Jersey. And first I asked about service, $175 an hour, plus travel, plus parts. They might not have the parts, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay,
got it. For an air compressor.
Yeah. Then I called Air and Gas Technologies, which is like a more local, they do air compressors, oxygen, supply, all that kind of stuff. They were $150. But same thing. It's like, if we don't have the parts, you know, whatever. And I'm still talking to them about doing PM. It takes forever to deal with anybody. But anyway, so I talked to Quincy. I'm like, do you have this part? And he's like, oh, let me look. No, we don't have that anymore. It's like discontinued or whatever. They're using some other contactor in their compressors now. He said, give this place a call. They're local. See if they have it. So I called and I said, yeah, do you have this Eaton part number or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Oh, let me check. Yeah, we have it. $75. I'm like, are you sure? Like, because I got a price from Grainger for like,
is that when he got grumpy?
Yeah. He goes, well, you want to go get it from Grainger? I'm like, damn. I'm like, I'm just asking because, you know, as they say, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. So I'm just trying to confirm before I drive up to Moonachie, New Jersey, that this is in fact the correct part.
Is that how you say that town?
Moonachie. Yeah. Moonachie.
I always thought it was Moonachie.
Maybe it's Moonachie. I don't know.
I've never heard anyone pronounce it to me.
Yeah, so. No. It's one of those two. So yeah, I'm like, man, this guy's kind of a dick. So I got there and then we ended up striking up a conversation. He's like a hobby woodworker. He bought a place up in Maine. He's getting ready to retire. Oh, he's going to build a shop. Yeah. So good, that was cool. Yeah. It's always nice when you think somebody's going to be a dick and then you know, figure out that they're not a dick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's say you had a business where you wanted somebody to come in and buy something and they're talking about your competition every time they call. Like, you get a little grumpy too.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
but I did like preface the whole thing.
How much does this cost with you? Because Tom said,
not an electrician. You know, I made all that clear at the beginning of the phone call.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, we all have our moments. I have plenty of moments daily.
I'm just a sweetheart all the time. And other lies I tell every day.
Had a couple guys come by today, Muhammad and Hassan, who were referred to us by Rich, our outside sales rep from Hayflow. And they have a shop up in one of the Washingtons, New Jersey. Not sure exactly which one.
Yeah, we got to find out which one.
But they have... some nice equipment. I'm not sure what, I don't know if they said they have a Rover or what, but anyway, they're looking to expand into like parts cutting. And, honestly, I'm not very pleased. I think I've said this before with the guy that we have up in Connecticut, Parts Cutter CNC. We had a bunch of issues with the last job that we ran with him. And then I'm having communication issues with this current job that I'm trying to give him. So looks like he's going to send me a price on Monday, but these guys, Muhammad and Hassan, they're going to send me a price on Monday. So we'll see. They brought a sample of something that they had edge banded, and it was high gloss with a white gloss, black high gloss with a white edge banding, and it was nice.
Looked pretty sharp.
That's one of the things, like the guy in Connecticut, I can't have him edge band because the stuff that we got edge banded, it looked horrible.
Really?
Yeah. So that makes life easier. They have like a return conveyor, all that stuff. So like the big thing for me is when it shows up, I have to sort through all of it and say, okay, this gets edge banded, this doesn't. This gets edge banded, this doesn't. It's a lot of time.
If you're having the parts cutter edge band, are you still in need of your edge bander?
Yeah, because I'm not going to have every job cut by somebody else.
Right.
Just like, you know, a kitchen, because it takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. And then there's always, you know, might have to make a piece, might mess up a piece, have to remake it. So
repair or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's cool. We'll see.
They seem cool.
Yeah, yeah. Seem very knowledgeable about Mosaic and, you know, like, so they use Mosaic. The guy in Connecticut uses Mosaic. And one of the things I always asked him, like, can I just send you the file? He's like, no, send me the multiprint, which is just elevation views and plan views. And then he puts it into something else. What the hell?
So what is he putting it into?
I don't know what program it is, but it's some other CNC.
He may have a CNC that doesn't work with.
Well, yeah, it's probably like the proprietary BSE, because I know he has BSE CNCs. It's probably their, I forget what they call it. It has a name. It's their proprietary CAM software. Yeah. So he doesn't want to do that middle part. But these guys, you know, it's like, I'm drawing it in Mosaic and now I can send it to you in Mosaic. And then I don't care what CAM you put it into. You could use the G code right out of Mosaic for all I care. But at least I can send it to them and they can see everything and manipulate things if they need to.
Wanted to be involved in that process.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. But they want to be involved in that process, which seemed to me like they wanted to be involved in whatever it is that puts out the CAM.
Yeah. Well, Mosaic is CAM. You know, it has its own CAM program or whatever.
Yeah.
But I know certain machines will only work with
other proprietary.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure there's a workaround. You know, you could probably import G code into a CAM rather than just like importing the CAD and then creating the G code within the proprietary CAM software. I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
Me neither. I've never used it. So
I know on my CNC, I can export the G code from anywhere and then bring it into my CAM software. I don't need to put the CAD file in and let it convert it to its own CAM.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I guess like a slicer. What slicer do you use for your?
Bamboo.
Oh, they have their own.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, whatever that one is.
Yeah. What the hell is it? Cura.
Cura.
Yeah. No. Cura actually makes 3D printers. I don't know how it became like the slicer, but.
I think it was the first hobby one. And that's how it just evolved.
From yeah. There. You can actually slice through Fusion.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My bamboo's down. It's been down for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, whatever happened?
Waiting on parts.
But what happened? You had turned it up to high speed or something and it got all whacked out?
I don't know. I had it on high speed. And then one day they kept saying TF fan M normal or something. Something like that. Hmm. Which is the thermal head TH fan abnormal, fan speed abnormal. I don't know. So I went.
Like the cooling fan?
Yeah, there's a cooling fan for the like thermal head that melts the extruder. So I said, I'm just going to buy it. I'm not even going to go through warranty. If it's just this, I'm going to buy it because there was a little piece of the filament. I got one tangle and it was in there. So I was like, all right, maybe it was holding up the fan. These things are tiny little fans.
Yeah, maybe just I blew like it up. BS.
And they sell the whole part, the whole thing wired, ready to go right from Bamboo. So I went on the Bamboo website and I bought it. I put it in, I get the exact same issue. Huh. So that's when I was like, all right, I reached out to them, which was kind of cool because they didn't make me go through all the typical testing. I'm like, these are the error codes I got. This was my fix. I tried everything else. Then this was my fix. I bought this. What's wrong? And they're like, it looks like you need this. And it's basically the motherboard of that top part where the extruder is. There's like a whole white case and there's like a motherboard in there and there's something wrong with the motherboard. So they said, we'll get one out to you. Maybe just like what you have. Should be out next week.
Yeah. It should be shipping today. I'm like, should or it is.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, boss. It's like if, even if it's at 9 a.m., they open at 8:30, 9 a.m. You say, we're going to send you a new tube and power supply. It doesn't ship until tomorrow.
That's not right.
And, you know, they don't pick up. That's just like the labels getting created. And then they don't pick it up till the end of the day. So it's really like 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that.
So this was supposed to be 2 day shipping. And that was on like Wednesday.
When's it coming?
Monday, I think. I haven't even checked.
And that's if it works.
That's if it even shipped. Let me see. I haven't heard back from Hans from full spectrum bows. They, so we're going to be part of the affiliate program at Full Spectrum. And he said, yeah, like, let me know. Yeah. Monday it's coming. Let me know what you want your coupon code to be. I'm like, is it like usually like a something like a word, word 10 or something, you know, a lot of times they have like a standardized, coupon code formula that they use. And he's like, no, it could be anything. I said, how about Boss Sucks? I said, no, I'm just kidding. We'll do,
I thought they went with it.
GSJ Laser.
That's pretty cool. What does it get you?
He thought it was funny. I think it gets you like $250 to $500 off of a laser. I think it's depending on the price of the laser.
Yeah.
But that's pretty, pretty good. Yeah. And then we in turn get a, get equal in store credit. But, you know, well, say we get enough store credit, I could just buy the
same laser. I've been keeping my eye on this place in that I know of that's getting rid of a Boss Laser. I just keeping my eye for when it gets moved outside and I'm going to load it right into my truck. And
comes with three spare tubes that may or may not work.
Oh, man. Ugh. I would keep two for a while until you know.
Yeah, same thing like with the mom port.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing we held on to that Boss because that mom port would have never, never would have cut a batch of boxes.
No.
Somebody messaged me some big account. I don't know who it is. I don't remember what their name was. Hey, did you ever get that mom port aligned? I said, we sent that heap of shit back.
What, but why were they asking?
Because he had bought one like right after we got that one. He's like, oh, hey, I ordered one of those lasers. Oh.
Yeah. That's why I always get nervous when there's stuff going on. Those things.
16 millimeter lens. That still drives me crazy. The Boss is 105 watts, has a 20 millimeter diameter lens.
Mm-hmm.
The Monport shows up 150 watts. So all intents and purposes, let's say 50% more powerful. Yeah. Shows up with a 16 millimeter lens. That's 20% smaller than the 105 watt lens.
Yeah. Something's not adding up there.
The Full Spectrum has a 25 millimeter lens.
That makes sense. So what?
25.
What 16, power is it though?
150 watt.
150. And this is 105?
105, yeah.
So it should be faster then too, right?
Yeah.
Or at least the same speed as long as it works.
Yeah. I'm all for like the guaranteed cut, you know.
And how many weeks are these boxes doing?
Mid-May, so.
And you got to be done before the 12th, right?
May 12th? Is that high caliber? No, that's 16, 7, that's 17, 18, 19, right?
Yeah, don't you have to have it done so they can pick it up before you leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 12th is a Sunday, so I was wrong. Yeah, the 17th, you have to be done by the 16th.
Yeah.
So that
well, leaves. I mean, I'd like to be done by the 10th.
5 weeks?
Yeah. You know, the cutting is the longest part.
Not the most tedious, but the longest.
Yeah. I mean, you could turn it around in about a week and a half after they're cut. That's with two people working full time.
Oh, so you're fine.
Well, I also have to finish that wall unit and that other job that's piled up over there and that kitchen that's due for Memorial Day.
And a vacation.
Yeah. God.
Dominican Republic. But if it's here for the 15th, we're good.
What, the boxes?
The laser.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hopefully the Boss will be up and running on Tuesday afternoon. We'll see. That'd be nice if I could get that thing going Tuesday. Let it cut for four days. That's a decent amount of boxes.
And then the following week.
Especially if I start coming in early. I get that guilt. It's like, man, I'm going away for a week. It's like, I got to come in at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Work 12 and a half hour days.
Not for the boxes.
Hmm.
I don't know what days. We'll talk about that later.
We're talking about high caliber. We got that coming up in about 6 weeks.
I'll be teaching power carving.
Yeah. Are you bringing Fordhams?
Yeah. I'm only going to bring one.
Not works, cordless.
No.
Spinners.
I don't bring garbage. I bring real tools. I'm doing Fordham. I just bought a couple grinders.
Oh, those Milwaukee ones?
Yeah.
They're not rat tail grinders or not die grinders. They're just regular grinders?
Regular grinders, yeah. I have a right angled die grinder that I'm going to bring.
I have a pneumatic one if you want me to bring it.
Then we have to run a compressor.
Oh, okay. Oh, what do you have? Like the little Milwaukee one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got the Chief from Harbor Freight.
Oh, nice.
Actually, that's what I did that drippy cherry thing with.
It worked out well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Fordham, I don't know. I was removing a lot of material.
With the
Fordham? You know, I did use the Fordham quite a bit because our compressor couldn't really keep up with that.
That's the problem with the air tools.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. When they're blowing at 120 PSI, it's great. When
yeah, you start you need losing like PSI, 20 CFM or something.
Yeah. But yeah. So I got some grinders, a Fordham. I'm going to bring a Dremel. I don't know why, but I'm going to bring a Dremel.
What do you have? Discs for the grinders?
Yeah.
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 I like power carving. I haven't really had an opportunity to do it other than that drippy thing, but that was a lot of fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Is it? Yeah, it's fun. I like it. I consider it the more artistic side.
Yeah.
Is like if I'm going to carve something, I don't want a straight line. I don't want like, I don't want that. If I wanted that, I'd go to a CNC.
Yeah.
So I try and just do some funky stuff or
something organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what else is going on at that? There's somebody doing turning. It'd be blacksmithing, obviously.
Blacksmithing, machining,
mm-hmm.
Sewing, leatherworking, I think. Screen printing for sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I should have probably saved that link that Austin sent.
I have it. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Because that would be a lot of scrolling to get back to that.
Yeah. Quite a
actually,
bit.
I think you can search now.
You can.
Within, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't always work though.
That's like on my phone when I go to photos and I'll put in like cabinet and like two pictures come up. I'm like, really? Like,
yeah, right?
That's like 99% of my pictures are of cabinets.
I'll put in dog on mine and it'll show me like one photo. I'm like, dude, if you went through my thing, there's more than one photo of a dog. God.
Oh shit, it's 4:35. All right, we got to wrap this up. But first we got to thank our sponsor, Ridge Carbide. When you need the right saw blade for the job, put your trust in Ridge Carbide Tools.
For over 50 years, Ridge Carbide has been producing industrial saw blades designed with exact specifications for the cutting results you expect.
Before you buy, call Ridge Carbide and they'll help you determine the right tool that meets your need and your budget.
After the sale, Ridge Carbide provides sharpening services for all your saw blades, dado sets, router bits, and joiner planer knives.
Located in Kansas, Ridge Carbide Tools provides high quality products with outstanding customer service at a fair price. What are you cutting?
You had to give me the Come ones on. With all the S's.
I didn't even think about it. It takes me back to Working Hands Podcast Season 1. So check out Keith at Blackthorn Concepts, Working Hands Podcast.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
We truly appreciate you listening. If you want to support the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Share the show with your friends or consider subscribing to our Patreon. We'll see you next week.